come on up here. And as I mentioned in the prayer, Pastor Kip is sick. I think it started as a sinus infection. I don't know if he has a flu or not, but he's really sick. He missed a meeting Saturday morning, obviously missed a meeting preaching to us this morning. But we're in really good hands. I always say that. And some of you may not know who this is. Columbia folks, you know who this guy is. But I want to introduce Kenny Crummett. He is our campus pastor at our Columbia location, and he's preached here several times, and certainly looking forward to hear what God has led you to tell us, all right? So hit it hard. Thank you.
Thank you. Give him God. Pastor Kip wanted me to share his love to you all, and he misses you, and his fever finally did break early this morning, so he's starting to feel better, but he wanted me to pass on his love. We're not going to jump into the scripture yet, but why don't you, while I start, you go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 30, and we're going to read Luke 1, 30 through 35. But while you do, the title of this sermon is In Jesus' Name, Amen. We end our prayers that way, but the sermon is In Jesus' Name, Amen. What's in a name? What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. That's a line from Romeo and Juliet. Shakespeare said it. It's all about the name, about the name. No trouble. Some of the youth may, a few of you may grasp that. I love names. I do. I remember hearing about a study where the majority of people, their favorite word is actually their own first name. Studies have shown this. When you name something, you have dominion or power over that. If you think about scripture and you go into Genesis, in the beginning, God created light and it came to be. Before he created it, he named it. He had dominion over it. We also don't care for it when people don't remember our names, do we? Especially if you know their name, but they don't remember your name. There's this something that's it's a little sour. They don't remember your name. I remember a girl in youth group who, if she couldn't remember someone's first name, she had a little trick she taught me. She would say, tell me your last name again. Oh my goodness, you have the most beautiful name. Say it all together. Kenny Crummett. Oh, wow. That is a gorgeous name. And she got my name, Kenny. But, I mean, that was a little ploy that she would use. Disney World, I'm 9 or 10 years old. We went to a store, and my mom and dad got me a Mickey Mouse hat, and they had my name etched on it, Kenny. And a little bit later, same day, we're waiting to go along to go on this ride that takes you across the park, but in over a cable car. And we're waiting in line, and there's a man maybe 15 feet away, and he's working on the ride. And he turns around, and I'm like looking right in that direction, and he makes eye contact with me. And he said, "Hi, Kenny." Oh my gosh. Have you ever wanted a bicycle or something, like you're a kid and you want it, and your parents get the exact one you want, and you see it for the first time, that he knew my name? It was like a long-lost uncle that I never had met. He was in my inner circle, and he said two words. He said, "Hi, Kenny." My mother burst my bubble when she said, "Look at your hat, Junior." But hearing my name was so special. You know, when Caitlin and Catherine were babies and they had not spoken their first word yet, my wife, Kate, my mother-in-law, and I were in this heated competition. We'd hold the baby and dada, dada. I tape recorded it, and she would listen to it all night. No, I won on Caitlin. She said dada, but Catherine said mama. So Caitlin is my favorite. No, I'm joking. Catherine in Columbia, I'm joking. And there's something about when they get older, it goes from dada to maybe daddy to dad. But when they're older, sometimes once in a blue moon, especially if something's wrong, I'll hear daddy. And they're broken. And I will go through a wall I will move a car. I will do anything to get to them, to love on them, because I heard Daddy. I heard that name, and I heard it in that voice. So this morning, during this Advent season, let us worship a risen Savior. And when we hear that name, that blessed name, Jesus, the name above all names, we can celebrate and we can have that love in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke chapter 1, if you've turned in your Bible to Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 30. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." God the Father knew his son Jesus before Jesus came to earth as a babe. And Jesus the Son knew his Father before he came to earth. And he knew what his mission was. And his name reflects that. Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, God saves. And that's what he's done for you and for me. He's the fulfillment. Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Jesus is the Messiah that the Jewish nation is waiting for. He came to liberate us from bondage, to save his people, but more than that, he came to save all of mankind. Unfortunately, the Jewish nation did not understand what they were to be saved from. They thought they were going to be saved from the Romans. He came to save for so much more, and we are blessed because of that. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Did you ever think about this? God chose his parents, the parents of Jesus, his son, very carefully. Imagine, okay, who here is a parent? So as a parent, there's a lot of parents here. As a parent, you want the best for your children, right? Can you imagine what it must have been for God the Father, who's going to send his son as a babe into this world, and how he was going to choose the right parents? And the angel said to Mary, "Mary, you are blessed among all women." And he said about Joseph, "Joseph, you are a righteous man." In Scripture, one of the ways we see how righteous Joseph is, he could have really made Mary's life horribly miserable. But he was going to divorce her quietly before he knew what the angel had said to him in a dream. He was a righteous man. God chose to send Jesus, the fulfillment of prophecy, to be the Savior, the Redeemer. Did you ever consider this? Jesus was 100% divine, and yet he was fully human. Did you ever think about that and what that must be like? Dennis last week talked about hypostatic union. That's a term you use pretty much every day, right? It's that common term you just throw around like saying water. Jesus is God with all the qualities of humanity, all the qualities of humanity without sin. Who here can say that? No hands. We can't. Only Jesus can do that. He's the ultimate answer of God to the fulfillment for the fall of humanity. He paid the price for you and for I. God reiterates that he did not make a mistake in creating man. Through one man, sin entered the world. But through another man, God saves us. Isn't that incredible? Through one man, sin came into the world and affects everybody. And through one man, God saved us. God knew what he was doing. God knows what he's doing. And we are blessed because of that. This nativity story in the book of Luke that we read mostly during the Advent season, it's the crux of our faith. Jesus came to save the world. God has planned it all along. God knew what he was doing, and he continues to know what he's doing. All right, You may have heard me say this expression before, but first we're going to do an action. Take your hands and clap them and start rubbing them. You feel that friction? All right, you can stop. I don't want you to hurt yourself. Here's the rub. Here's the rub. What does this mean? The so what? How do we take that friction? How do we take what we heard and how does that apply to us today? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? How do you know him? Do you know how many names are in the Bible for Jesus? This is exciting to me, how many there are. Jesus, does the name of Jesus have the same effect on you as Dada or Mama or Daddy or Mommy or my wife or my hubby or my husband, my child? Imagine looking with love at your loved one and calling them that name. Does Jesus have that same effect when you hear his name? Do you feel that way towards him? I want to read a few more scripture passages that have the name of Jesus and what his name means. In Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Judy, what's one of your son's names? Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6-7, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of the government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now let's go to the New Testament and look at different Jesus' name and what it means in Scripture. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. In Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I want you to listen for the name Jesus or the different names for Jesus and what they mean through these scripture passages. And when they talk about Jesus, Jesus, or the Hebrew origin Joshua, or Jeshua, meaning Jehovah is salvation. In Greek, it's Christos. Christos, which means to anoint. To anoint. Emmanuel. In Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, which means what? The beginning and the end, saith the Lord, that which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He transcends time. He's omnipresent. The Alpha and the Omega are the first and the last alphabet, or letters in the Greek alphabet. The Almighty, in Greek, pantokrator, meaning all-powerful. He is all-powerful. Do you ever see him that way? Do you ever think about him that way in those terms? In Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and he spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He is Savior and he is Lord. In Luke 2:11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. In Greek, soter, meaning Savior, deliverer, a preserver. Do we rely on him like that? Do we look to him in that way? In John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. In Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it talks about the Son of God and the Son of Man. And in Matthew 9:6, what I'm doing right now in this sermon, I'm giving you scripture passage after scripture passage after scripture passage on who Jesus is. Why sometimes I do this, I talk a lot about what scripture is saying, but let scripture speak to you this morning as you hear these passages of scripture, as you hear the word of God. In Matthew 9:6, but ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He comes from the son of David. He is the son of Abraham. In Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And 1 Timothy 2:5, he is a mediator. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. In Hebrews 3:1, he is apostle and high priest. I never really thought of Jesus as apostle, but listen to this. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. An apostle in Greek is apostolos, which means one sent. An apostle is someone who was sent. Jesus was sent. He is an advocate in 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is an advocate. He's an intercessor. Who here needs an intercessor? We all need an intercessor. What about after I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Does that mean I'm perfect? Far from it. We make mistakes. We need Jesus. We need our intercessor. I'm going to now read names, descriptions of Jesus. If you want, see me after service, and I will give you the scripture passage that supports each name. Appointed judge, author and finisher of our faith, author of eternal salvation, bread of God, bread of life, bridegroom. He is the bright and morning star. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the chief shepherd. He is the door of the sheep. He is a faithful witness. He is the firstborn of every creature. He is the first begotten from the dead. He is the good shepherd. Who here loves the good shepherd, the story of the shepherd? I love that story. You know, 99 sheep are in a pen. They're all together. The shepherd's there. One's missing. What did the shepherd, the good shepherd, do? He went out and he found the one. Brothers and sisters, you and I are the one. He came and he found us. He is the good shepherd. He is the head of the church. He is head of all principality and power. He is heir, Lord of all. He is the Holy One of God. He is the image of the invisible God. He is a judge of the living and the dead. Sherry mentioned earlier in the sermon about, you know, Jesus and his love and this time of the year. And, you know, sometimes God does some hard things. There's things that seem hard and that he needs to do. At the same time, we need to take seriously who he is. He truly is the judge of the living and the dead. He is the King of Kings. He is the King of the Jews. He is the light of the world. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the living bread. He is living stone chosen of God. He is Lord of glory. He is Lord of lords. He is only begotten Son. I only have 87 more. I'm kidding. He is the Passover lamb, the power of God, the prince of life, the prophet of the highest, propitiation of our sins, the rabbi master, ruler, prince of the kings of the earth. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. That is who Jesus is. That is who our Savior is. And we all have, any who believe in him, that's our Jesus. In Matthew 1:21-23, it says this. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This sermon is about Jesus. I want to say one side note about Joseph, how cool Joseph is. Can you imagine if you were Joseph and your betrothed is pregnant and you had a dream and the angel told you this? I admire how obedient Joseph was. He did what he was told to do. He had faith and he acted on it. We are to know Jesus in a personal way. I you know, some of you may have heard me say this, share this story with you. I was at Southern Seminary in Louisville. Jessica's going, yeah. And I'm at Southern Seminary, and I'm in my first class, my absolute first class. I moved there from this area, and the professor, there were two professors, and it was Introduction to Christian Education. And I'm taking this, and they were both older professors, a man and a lady. And the man stands up, and he goes, "I do not put much stock in religion." At this point, my jaw drops, and I'm thinking, "What am I doing here? What have I done? I've moved myself. I've got an apartment. I'm locked in. I've paid for. I don't believe in religion. I don't put much stock in religion." And I'm thinking, "Oh boy." And he goes on to say, "I believe that it's more about a relationship than religion." And he goes on to explain what he meant, how, you know, so many things have been done in the name of religion. We use God, and humans do what they want to do. And religion just messes it up. But relationship with Jesus Christ is where it's at. And so from then on, it really struck me, it's true. We can say the name Jesus, but without a relationship with him, that thinking of daddy or mommy, we're not going to have that intimacy with Jesus unless we know him and we have that personal relationship. Like a husband knows his wife, like a mother knows her son and daughter, like a friend knows his or her best friend. We even have an expression, BFF. Best friend forever. I think Nancy and Kate and others, you're my BP, you're my best Korean friend forever. They have the acronym in place for best BFF. Jesus, his name, but how do we know him? Jesus is constantly working to reveal himself to us. You know, one of the challenges is, who here has ever sought God out with a passion for more than 2 days? Actually, I'm going to, don't raise your hand. Just think about it. This is a rhetorical question. Have you ever sought God out with a passion for an extended period of time? Truly sought him out, what his will is? In praying, how often do you speak and how often do you listen? How do we do at that? Jesus is constantly working to reveal himself to us. Here's one of the challenges. Am I listening? Are you listening? Are we listening to where God is leading us, what Jesus has to say? He is constantly trying to reveal himself. He's trying to reveal himself to those who are perishing in their sins, to those who already have a relationship with him. He's trying to speak to us. He's always constantly trying to get a relationship with us that goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And sometimes we don't even know this because we're not listening. Because we don't have the ears to hear. Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus left, what did he do? He left his Holy Spirit with us to guide us, to reveal sin, to illuminate the truth. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us. The Holy Spirit is the one who fills us with joy. How do you think we get the fruits of the Spirit? What are they? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I ask you, do we know Jesus? Do we know who he is?
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glory.
This Christmas season, let's really celebrate Jesus and who he is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Let us celebrate that he is the Redeemer, that he is our Savior. He is our God. He is everything. And he is, Jesus. Do you know him?
There are approximately 2 billion heartbeats in a human lifespan.
And the human mind processes on average 47,000 pulses in a single day. Over 17 million a year and over 1 billion in a lifetime.
That's hundreds of millions of questions in the human mind. Of those questions,
these three questions lead to an even bigger question. And that question is, do you know him? Do you know him? The Bible says, now what I'm about to read to you right now, I did not write this myself, but it's beautiful. I love it. And I want to share it with you now. The Bible says that my king is the king of the Jews. He is a king of Israel. He is a king of righteousness. He is the king of ages. He is the king of heavens. He is the king of glory. He's the king of kings and he is the Lord of lords. That's my king. And I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of the world, and he's God's son. He is a sinner savior, and he is the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature, and he is the highest personality in philosophy. He is the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the one who qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder, do you know him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and he sustains. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners and he discharges debtors. He delivers the captives and he defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent and beautifies the meek. I wonder, do you know him? He is the key to knowledge. He is the wellspring of wisdom. He's the way of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love, it never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind and you can't get him out of your hand. You can't outlive him and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they couldn't get rid of him. Pilate couldn't find any fault with him, and Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yes, that's my king. That is my king. Brothers and sisters, that is our king. And he loves you, and he loves me. Let us pray.